Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we speak with real estate pros and industry experts from across Australia and around the world, where we get to know them a little bit more personally and the stories behind their success in the business of real estate. And I'm excited about today's show. I'll be speaking with a rising young star in our industry here in Australia, Alicia Williams, the Director of Locations Estate Agents in Gladstone. Alicia is going to share with us her background in the real estate industry, what it was like opening her own office in October 2013 after working for one of the large franchise groups, and the story behind some of her recent success, including Gladstone's Best in Business Award for the category of real estate. Alicia is one of our industry's rising young stars, and I know you're really going to enjoy today's show. But before we catch up with Alicia, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Beepo, helping businesses save money and be more efficient with specialised outsourcing solutions. Visit beepo.com.au and find out just how easy it is to set up your own trusted outsourcing team that helps take your business to the next level.
Before we get into the discovery of the week, I'd just like to ask you a question. Have you ever taken notes from meetings or listing appointments or anything like that, and you just have trouble finding those notes or being able to reference them quickly? Well, something I picked up a little while ago from Officeworks called an Evernote Moleskin notebook. And a lot of you are probably using iPads and iPhones and that sort of thing for taking notes during meetings. Well, if you're a little bit like me and you're a little bit old school and you like to take notes with the old pad and pen, well, the Evernote Moleskin notebook allows you to take a photo of your notes. It syncs that back up to your Evernote profile, and then you can go back very quickly and reference your notes using your iPhone or your iPad later from the notes that you've taken in your notebook. So it will scan all of the text that you've written, your actual handwriting, and look for keywords that it can pull out that you can locate quickly. So if you've taken notes from, if you've been to a conference and you've got your journal there, then essentially you can go back and reference them on your phone or your iPad or your computer, wherever it is synced back up to from your notepad via the Evernote app. So it's a really cool thing that I've only just discovered. I'm sure it's been around for a little while. And if you're using the old notepad and pen for taking notes, this is certainly a great little tool. It's a really, really neat looking notepad as well. I've taken it to meetings or conferences or anything like that. People always ask, what is it? Go and check it out. Go to just your local Officeworks. I think they're about $40 or thereabouts, and you actually get 3 months premium Evernote account. So it's a great little tool, and I certainly think it'll help you locate all of your notes and reference things quickly using your devices. So with that, let's transition over to this week's interview. So I'm excited about introducing our guest today, Alicia Williams. Alicia is the Director of Locations Estate Agents in Gladstone, Queensland. With a background in accounting and mortgage planning, Alicia started her real estate career in 2011 as a sales professional for RE/MAX. And in 2013, at the age of 28, Alicia opened the doors of Locations Estate Agents. Alicia, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a moment, tell us a little more about you personally, and then give us an overview of the business.
I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head there, Josh. I do have that background in accounting and finance, and real estate wasn't something that I'd always planned on doing. It was literally something that I fell into, which most people probably won't appreciate to hear. But it was just something that came up, and I thought, well, why not give it a go? And as it turned out, it just seemed to resonate with the background that I had already. And moving forward, I've always had a passion for property. So the logical progression seemed to be real estate. And funnily enough, I just accepted the challenge and wanted to take it further and really make a really good go of it. So we opened Locations and here we are now.
Well, for our listeners who aren't familiar with where you work and live, can you tell us a little more about Gladstone and explain what the real estate market has been like over the past 5 years or so for you guys up there?
Yeah, of course. Gladstone is in central Queensland. It's an hour south of Rockhampton, or if you're in the car from Brisbane, 6 hours north of there. But Gladstone's become increasingly popular over the last few years with the introduction of LNG construction It's in our harbour on Curtis Island, so there's been a lot of publicity, good and bad, about that. So that's not just for a national basis, but multinational with the types of companies that are investing here. The real estate market has been very challenging over the last 2 years, and by the very nature that Gladstone is, it's a volatile market. It's up and down. We have thousands of people moving in and out due to construction. It's just how our town operates. So we've seen a lot of gaps in supply and demand and housing shortages and then oversupply. So we're coming out of that oversupply at the moment. It's returned to what I would consider a normal market. 95% of our buyers are owner-occupied buyers. So they're really starting to catch up with that oversupply. People are living in the homes, and I think the market overall has a lot more confidence. And going forward, I'd like to see that continue for the next 6 to 12 months. It just depends, obviously, with how things play out. No one has that crystal ball, but it seems quite stable, and I think that will continue in the short to medium term.
I'm really interested to know what it's been like for some of your landlords, particularly around, with high vacancies during, how was that handled? Can you explain for everyone listening what that was like when, vacancies, are they still high or what it was like back then? And, how you were educating the landlords through that?
Our agency opened and started taking on property management towards the end of that phase. So we didn't get to experience, thankfully, I'm sure we'll have our time again, that period where there was huge rents being earned and then all of a sudden within a six-month period that, fell away 25, 50% and landlords were going, hey, what's going on? Particularly those who were promised great returns when they were investing outside of town, they're coming in, they're buying a new property or maybe they'd bought before and they were just diversifying their portfolio. So then to have those conversations, even now we've seen the market soften a little bit more around rentals, but that has stabilised somewhat. And when I say stabilised, I am referring to established homes, residential homes. I still feel that there is an oversupply of units and apartments that are there and that has some pain to go, but even still they're catching up. But landlords, if you have that good relationship with them and they know they can trust you and know how to, deal with the market because it is what it is. You just have to deal with it. Most of them are okay, but it's the ones that I think who are unfamiliar with Gladstone, maybe bought through marketeers or what have you, and then have this rude shock of, oh, my goodness, this is what's going on. So it's an education process, building their trust and listening, referring them back to accountants, financial planners, having those discussions, trying to plan around that and what their options are because property isn't a short-term thing. I strongly believe it is long-term. But having said that, vacancy rates have gone from about 6% to 4% in the last few months, which is an interesting trend. We'll continue to monitor that.
Can we just get a bit of an idea of what sort of rents were being achieved in that booming market? Like what would an average sort of 3-4-bedroom house rent for back then?
Yeah, sure, because I was a landlord at that particular time. I wasn't operating my own rent roll. So we had a brand new 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom, double lock-up home, fairly close to town. Good local builder, nice size section, that was being rented for $750 per week.
Wow. Wow.
So that without even trying, things were positively geared. Mm. Now that same property probably has a rental return around $450.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And sales, like just comparing that to sales back then as well, what would you pay for a house similar to that and compared to today?
That house, we actually did sell that when things were quite good, not as good as they were, but sort of on the downward end, and that was a mid-5. That same home now would be maybe a lower 5 because it has held value quite well in that area and they've also added improvements to the property as well, such as a pool. But other homes did experience a drop of 100,000. That wasn't an unheard-of thing. But, again, we've seen a lot of support around 300,000 the last 6 or so months. So I think that's our base price and we are seeing the bottom of the market.
Okay, great. Well, look, I'd like to shift a little bit and focus the spotlight on you for a minute. You originally started your career in a franchise group. What made you decide to branch out and start an independent business?
It wasn't an easy decision because certainly I liked what the brand had to offer, their training, their systems, all of those sorts of things. You really get to relate with a really big group of people and there's lots of experience and lessons that you can learn from those types of individuals. However, the time came where I had to assess the viability of my purpose there and my future goals, so I did make the decision to go out on my own. And I am a strong believer that people do list with the person, not so much the brand, and that's particularly evident in a city like Gladstone, or a smaller city like Gladstone. We're a very relationship client focused agency, and I feel that by having our own independent brand, such as locations, we can do that. And having, well, not having the big franchise group behind you, but I'm finding that our industry is really changing, where you have a lot of other independent agents working in with one another, conjuncting, if you will, and we're getting fantastic results for clients and still getting your best price, best possible time, but understanding that we can create leverage and synergy by adopting that same sort of model, and it's working well.
Mm. And for our listeners who don't know, how old are you now?
I'm 29.
29. Well, the reason I say that, Alicia, is a lot of people that have been on the show have been around for a long, long time and have built established businesses. And I just wanted to congratulate you, and I'm sure our listeners would as well, for achieving what you have at 29. So congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Josh. I don't really think too much of it. But
No, well, look, and you were recently awarded the Best in Business Award at the annual Gladstone Observer Awards night. What was it like standing on stage just a year after opening your doors to accept the award for the category of real estate, considering really how competitive the market is there in Gladstone?
Look, it was really a humbling experience. I was not expecting it whatsoever, and it was great to get something like that, because I know how hard our staff work, you know, 6-7 days a week after hours being on call. So to have that recognition is something that may not mean a lot to other people, but for us it's like, oh yes, we've actually achieved something there. It's a small milestone, and obviously bigger, better things next year. And for other people who didn't know who Locations was from a public awareness point of view, now they can go, okay, I know who they are, and yes, they are a credible sort of organisation, which means a lot to me, is to help keep our brand out there and to give it more profile.
Absolutely, especially a year after opening the doors, it must have been quite exciting.
Yeah, I just try not to get too excited about those sorts of things. It's always like, back to the drawing board, what's next, what are we doing? But again, it was very nice, because I think if you set too high standards and you don't sort of pat yourself on the back along the way, then you sort of lose touch. So it was nice.
You bet. You bet. Well, I'd just like to shift gears and really have a chat to you about your journey in the industry, Alicia. So we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate, but here on our podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time where you've either failed or succeeded. Can you tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in your career where you felt like you'd failed? Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Yeah, I think every day you get small situations of fails, if you want to call them fails. I probably think of them more as a challenge, because there'll be things that it doesn't matter what you do and how many times you do it, and even if you've done everything right, there's still variables when it comes down to getting a contract done or a listing or what have you that you can't control. And that's where it comes down to your experience and your own personal beliefs and ethics, I think, to carry you through those things. Doesn't matter how many times you get knocked out, there's so many more reasons to get back up and to keep going. And even this week I've had a situation where a property was listed at, you know, 629, offer came in at 620. You know, that's pretty good in any sort of market. And then the seller spoke to their accountant and was no longer able to sell because of their tax position. They thought it was okay, but then check, because we always get them to check as well. And it just, there's no way that it could go through. And you sort of think, oh my goodness, that's so frustrating. But what do you do? The best thing you can do is, okay, well, what's next? What do we do? How do we get this back online? Or how do we find that buyer another property? You know, can we rent the other property if they can't sell it? Is that something we can do? So you're always looking at different solutions and different options.
Mm-hmm. Was there a moment, a story that sticks out that you were in control of the situation where you failed in your mind, where you've really questioned your own ability? Has there been a moment in time throughout, you know, the journey, whether it was with Locations or your previous job?
Well, we had another one, and a client said, yes, I'm definitely going to sign on that. They set a time for you the following night at 7 o'clock, going to come in and sign, what have you. And then, heaven forbid, another property they'd put a bid on earlier has come back and they've said, okay, we'll take that. And you think, oh, is there something I'm doing wrong? Did I not close that properly? What could have happened in that short space of time when they're working over on the island and can't get to a contract, can't get to a computer, yet in the 10-minute phone time they had during the day, were able to actually complete that other conversation and get that deal done. So that does make you doubt your ability sometimes. You think, do I still have my mojo? Do I still have it? But you do. You just got to not take it too personally sometimes. Just let it go, move on.
Absolutely. Well, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind where you felt like the formula you had in place was the right way to go about growing a real estate business? And again, take us there with you. Was there a moment or a story that sticks out? And how did that make you feel when that happened?
I don't think I've really had a formula for growing the real estate business, and that's going to frighten the hell out of some people.
Is there a story of success, though? Is there a story that sticks out in your mind where you thought, whether it's winning the award or something a client has said or a deal that's gone the way you wanted to, something that sticks out of a moment where you felt like you were on the right track?
Yeah, I think every day you're sort of busy in your business working, but there are times where you might be just driving around and you think and go, hang on, let's have a look at what we have achieved in the last 12 months and compare it to other people of a similar age or industry experience or even in my town, and do a cross-section of other people from my year that graduated at school, what they have achieved. And you sort of think, well, you know, I'm not doing too badly. We are achieving a lot. And to have your staff come in and they're happy and they enjoy working here, for me, that's a bigger sense of achievement and satisfaction than one particular thing. So yes, the award was great in our first 12 months. That's pretty exceptional. But having them come in and have that satisfaction and wanting to be part of the team is even better. And more recently, I've been approached by another salesperson, because I don't believe in poaching, but they've come to me and said, I really like how you're doing things. I'd love to be a part of your team. So for me, that's, you know, the icing on the cake. That's what I've always wanted, to create that model where people resonate with you and they want to be part of what you're doing. So that's pretty special.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. Well, look, I'd love to have a chat to you about some of your marketing that you do at locations. The three biggest challenges every person working in real estate faces when it comes to marketing is either creating awareness of the brand, generating leads, or increasing loyalty from their current clients. Can you give our listeners an overview of some of your marketing strategies, technologies, and I guess philosophies behind solving some of these challenges?
One of the biggest things I focus on is that relationship contact with people. So yes, it's nice to have emails and even a phone call conversation, but that regular face-to-face communication, if you can, is no doubt one of the biggest and strongest ways to not only put yourself out there and give your brand, but be a part of the community. You don't just want to be the real estate person. You want to be that person who has that purpose, can offer more than just real estate services. So being able to be a part of the Chamber of Commerce, on the executive committee, being in Rotary, and a couple of other things, that helps fabricate that network of relationships that we have. So then from a branding point of view, we've had a little bit of radio advertising, which I will actually move away from next year for a few different reasons.
I'd love to know why. Can you help our listeners understand why you might be doing that?
Yeah, so we did a BrandWorks campaign for 12 months, and that's an ongoing thing. What I would like to do more of in 2015 is targeted campaigns with radio, so call to action over a couple of weeks rather than that ongoing generic sort of ad. So I want to really have that call to action kind of campaign and track it a little bit better than just subconsciously hearing a radio campaign on the radio. I think there's more you can do and more cost effectively. Yeah.
And if we can just break that down just a little minute on that targeting side of things, how does that look visually?
For me, that's maybe where we have, and again, it's just an idea, so it hasn't come to fruition yet, but setting aside a block period of maybe 4 weeks or 8 weeks, particularly if we have another salesperson and another one that I'm speaking to at the moment that would come on board, and really put their brand out there, link them, tell them what Locations does, and, you know, invite them to come in to really get the consumer listening and make them do something rather than just white noise on a radio. And linking it back to either our Facebook page or, more importantly, our website. Because, yes, Facebook is good, but I think people are getting a bit too caught up in the idea that Facebook is the be-all, end-all marketing campaign. It's very important. Yes, it's a large chunk, but it's not the only thing that you can do, and it's there to just back up with the other visual and audio type marketing that you would do. So when we do radio or when we do Facebook, it's always redirecting back to our website because that's our space. Facebook or LinkedIn is always rented space and you've got to sort of operate within those controls and they can limit you and it's, yeah, then ultimately they want to charge you as well because it's a shareholding company. But so if we redirect it back to our website, then we can control it and then we can measure it and then we've got metrics and things that we can compare against as well.
No doubt. So you take your marketing numbers as seriously as some of your conversion numbers around sales.
Yes, don't have any exact conversion numbers, but that's how I'd like to really structure it. So I guess as a new business, getting involved and making progress. So that's one of the things every day I like to strive for is progress. If we do that on all areas of our business, that's fantastic. There's always tweaking to do.
Yeah. No, it's very smart, and you use the term rented land, and that's something that maybe not a lot of listeners in the real estate industry may have heard that term before. And essentially, what Alicia is saying is when you're building an audience on Facebook or any other social media platform, what you're essentially doing is paying for you're building your house on rented land. And when it comes to Facebook especially, they're making changes all the time, as Alicia has mentioned. And come January 2015, those changes are going to be quite significant for brands, and they're pulling out a lot of features into individual apps. And when it comes to the Facebook newsfeed particularly, any organic post that you're making on Facebook come January 2015 is virtually going to be dwindled down to zero, and you're going to have to pay for, as a brand, everything you do on Facebook. And that's quite scary for some brands that are putting all their focus onto Facebook. So Alicia, anything that people can take out of what you've just said is start looking at their website really seriously as the central point of all their marketing.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. And don't get too caught up with the fact that, it has to be perfect. It has to be perfect before we release it. I mean, sure, make sure the basic functionality is there. But just get it up and running because it's never, ever going to be perfect. There's always going to be changes in your business, legislation, a whole heap of things, and you're going to have to change that website progressively, as I have done with staff coming, going, new forms, new policies, new changes. So get it up and running, and then if you're sharing your however you do your Facebook marketing, whether it's sharing your link from, and people make the horrible mistake of doing realestate.com.au all the time, it should be coming from your website. It should be, you know, your listing there, publish it, there's your link, because the more traffic you drive back, it's also helping your website get better placement when Google is searching for it.
Well, Alicia, thank you so much for your input so far. About to hit the fast five, where I'm going to ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, let's hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from a report published by InMobi, which found the average Australian mobile user consumes 6.7 hours of media per day with their mobile device. And this is only 0.1% less than television. I think it's a timely reminder to ramp up your online video marketing strategy in 2015. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop us a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. So, Alicia, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
I would say Julie Ryan. From an early part in my real estate career, I was able to contact with Julie, and with her wealth of experience and knowledge and just her lovely personality, I found her to be an incredible business mentor and also personal mentor. And I still keep in contact with her today.
Okay. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with Julie, where is she based?
Julie is based on the Sunshine Coast, but she is working over in New Zealand. I think she's still associated with Ray White, the Director of Innovation, I think. Sorry, Julie, if that's wrong. But doing a lot of work with them and training and building up their skill set and moving forward with that business.
Alicia, what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
When I'm not at the office, which is very, very rare, it is triathlon. I absolutely love it. I love the challenges that come through that you can even apply to your business life and how you apply yourself at work, just the mental challenges and the physical challenges and teaching yourself patience and discipline are something that you pick up while you're training and while you're competing in that race. And then you can apply that. It's very, very relevant in a business sense as well.
You bet. No, look, I can certainly personally vouch for that one. And you've just recently completed the Noosa Triathlon, haven't you?
Yes, that was lots of fun. I would recommend training though, even though I didn't.
And how long did it take you to do it? It's now, just for our listeners who aren't familiar with the Noosa Triathlon, how long is the Noosa Triathlon?
It's an Olympic distance tri. So you have a 1.5K swim, a 40-kilometre ride, and then a 10K run. And that took me 3.5 hours. For those of you who would have trained, you're probably around that 2.5, 3.
No, congratulations. I know the course well. It was my first time in 6 years that I haven't been up there to Noosa to race that one. And it's one of our favourites. I think how many competitors did they have this year? It's about 6,000 or something, isn't it?
There's a ridiculous amount of people that go, but it's such a fantastic atmosphere. If you're going to do one triathlon in your lifetime, please do that one. You don't have to go and kill yourself. Just take it easy, enjoy it, maybe do it as a team. I think you get a lot out of it.
And a red hot tip, make sure you book it 12 months out.
Yeah.
Because you won't get in otherwise.
No. Yeah. No, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Alicia, what is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
I am an absolute sucker for Mark Boris books. Absolutely love them. I really enjoy the way that he writes. It's very, very simple sort of language, but very appropriate, very relevant, very easy to incorporate and understand. So anyone who is even thinking about getting into business or is in business, I would recommend that you read them.
And for those who aren't familiar with Mark, he is the founder of Yellow Brick Road, correct? That's the Mark Boris that you were talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. What is your favourite technology resource you use daily to help you run a better business?
I could not live without my Renet database, CRM. I'm not sure if the listeners will know what that is or who it is, but I picked that up. It's not only your CRM, it's your uploader, task manager, a whole heap of other things, marketing, what have you. Just absolutely love it. The fact that you can customize trails to suit different clients and things and properties that you're following up is just golden, because that's how I set my workflow for the next 3 to 5 years. In relation to that property or that client.
Now, I've got a lot of a few clients who are using Renet, and I know the guys over there. I've worked with those guys in some digital marketing capacity, and they're great guys, great product. So, yeah, great suggestion. It's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
It would be to just do it. So many real estate people I know, even myself, I am guilty, is just thinking about something too much and procrastinating. If you just pick up that phone and do it, it's done. And set yourself up for a good afternoon by getting the difficult phone calls out of the way early on. It's not that hard. It's just your brain that tricks you into thinking it's that hard. So being able to, one, identify it, and two, deal with it and act is going to get, I think, people a long way in the industry.
Well, Alicia, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote, and how do you think people in real estate can relate?
My favourite success quote comes from Michael Jordan, and in that particular quote, because it's quite long, he talks about how many times he has failed or how many times he's lost a game or missed the game-winning shot. But every time he's got back up again, and that's just how driven he is and how determined he is and how focused. So for me, that resonates with me, because you get knockbacks all the time, and everyone in their job is in sales. It's not just real estate people. If you're at Harvey Norman or you're at the coffee shop, we're all in sales. So being able to know how people work and how to take those knockbacks and be able to get up and be positive and focus, regroup, and be bigger, better, stronger next time is just so important.
Well, I'm going to read that quote out. It is quite long. I've got it here in front of me for listeners who haven't heard it. And Michael Jordan says that I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and I've missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. So, look, I think that absolutely relates to real estate. And everyone we've had on the show, Alicia, has mentioned in one way or another around the word focus and picking yourself up and not being afraid of fear and rejection, and just get back up and keep trying.
And I say that to my staff here as well, and they say, oh, how do you not be nervous in that situation? I say, you just got to be fearless. because and back yourself. If you're not backing yourself, well, no one else is going to. So you just have to get in there and be confident. You know what you're talking about. You have the skills, so be fearless and get the job done.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Alicia has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Alicia Williams. Well, Alicia, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to resonate with the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Locations Estate Agents?
Again, I'm going to refer them to our website, not Facebook, website, so www.locationsestateagents.com.au. And if you'd like to have a one-on-one chat with me anytime, I've always got my mobile, 0432 686751.
Alicia, thanks so much.
Lovely. Thanks very much for your time, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you did enjoy today's show, we'd love you to head on over to iTunes right now and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve, because at the end of the day, this show is all started to help you, the real estate pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.